of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee again for the privilege that's ours to come into Thy presence. We ask, O God, this evening for help. We pray, Lord, that You'll come and crown this meeting with Thy presence. And Lord, most of all, with Thy salvation. Give help in every part. Help us now to worship Thee and to glorify Thy great name. In the name of our Savior, we ask all of these things. Amen. We're going to sing together the words of Fanny Crosby's hymn 310. In your hymn books, the words will also be on the screen. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. We'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's seek the Lord again, please, in prayer. Let's ask for His help and His presence with us this evening in this gospel meeting. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank Thee this evening, Lord, that we have, Lord, a wonderful theme to sing about. And we thank Thee, Lord, tonight for redemption. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight for each one in this meeting who can truly say, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We thank the Lord tonight for the great plan of salvation. We thank the Lord tonight that the Lord came into this world. Lord, He who was sinless, spotless Lamb of God, He who is God of very God, yet became man. We thank the Lord for His perfect life. We thank the Lord for that atoning death, that there He died on our place, at that place called Calvary. Oh God, we can never begin to understand. We can never begin to take it in what it meant for Thee, the Holy One, to bear away our sin. Oh God, we thank Thee tonight that we have something to sing about. We thank the Lord tonight that we have a song in our hearts. We thank the Lord tonight that it's all about Thee, it's all about Thy great work there on Calvary's cross. And our Father, we pray that tonight You be pleased to glorify Thy name, even in bringing someone tonight the way of the cross. Oh God, we pray tonight for in this meeting or listening online. We pray, Lord, tonight that hearts will be spoken to. And Lord, tonight for those who are still out of Christ and still far from Thee, still, Lord, on those mountains of sin, Lord, we pray that tonight You'll bring them in. And Lord, that tonight You'll save a soul. Heavenly Father, we pray that this evening You'll come, Lord, and so work in this meeting. Oh God, we pray for that outpouring of God, the Holy Spirit. We ask, oh God, that tonight You'll come and presence Thyself with us in a very particular way tonight. Oh God, we pray for, Lord, a sense of the presence of the Lord this evening. Oh Lord, we need Thee. Oh God, we can go through the mechanics of a meeting. Lord, we can go through rituals and motions, but oh God, we pray tonight for a real meeting with the Lord. We ask, oh God, that You'll come. Meet with us, oh God, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we might know what it is for all of us tonight to do business with the Lord. And Heavenly Father, we pray especially for those gathered here out of Christ, whether younger or older. We pray, Lord, that tonight they might meet the risen Savior. Lord, that their eyes might be opened to behold the beauty and the wonder of Thy so great salvation. Oh God, we pray that tonight You be pleased, Lord, to come. Visit this place with salvation tonight, we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for plain, simple message of the way of the cross. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll bring someone that way tonight. Lord, save, we ask of Thee. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless in this meeting. Bless, Lord, every part of it. We pray, Lord, that as we would sing Thy praise, we ask, O Lord, that it will be acceptable in Thy sight. We pray, Lord, that You'll bless Thy servants as they would come and minister to us in song. Encourage them, Lord, we pray, that they'll know great help from heaven tonight. Lord, we pray that they might feel totally at home here amongst us in Sandown. And Lord, most of all, fill them with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Lord, we pray that tonight they might, Lord, again make much of their Savior. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless not only here, but across our land and across our nation. We pray, Lord, that You'll bless every faithful herald of the cross. Oh God, we thank Thee tonight that You have not left Thyself without a witness. And Lord, while the day is dark, and Lord, while many have departed from the ways of God and from the Word of God, we thank the Lord tonight for those who remain faithful to the blood and to the book. Encourage them, we pray. And Lord, we pray tonight that signs might follow the preaching of the glorious gospel of saving grace. We pray, Lord, tonight that You'll remember those who are serving Thee in far-off lands. Oh God, we pray tonight You'll encourage, Lord, those who have left home and family, Lord, to go at the call of God. God, we pray that You'll encourage every missionary of the cross tonight. Bless them, we pray. Encourage them. Oh God, we thank Thee that even as we heard this morning through our brother Maxwell, Lord, we thank Thee tonight that You're still building Thy church. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that souls are being saved. And, oh God, we pray that You'll continue, Lord, to work. We ask, oh Lord, as well, You remember the persecuted church. We pray, Lord, tonight for those who do not have the liberties and the freedoms as we have to come and to worship Thee publicly. Lord, we pray that You'll strengthen them, encourage them in the faith, oh God, we pray. And, Lord, may they know, Lord, the presence of the Lord even at this time. Protect them, we pray, and keep Your hand upon them for good. And, Lord, we pray that You'll be pleased to overthrow, Lord, every evil and wicked ruler, Lord, who would seek, Lord, to stop and to hinder the preaching of the gospel. Our Father, we pray tonight, You'll just do our hearts good. We ask, O Lord, that You'll take our thanks for Thy presence with us. We thank the Lord tonight that we are here, the living, to praise Thee. We thank the Lord for Your mercies. which have, Lord, abounded toward us today. And Heavenly Father, we pray that even this evening, Lord, that you be pleased to come and shower your blessing upon us once again. So hear and answer prayer. Remember this community. Remember, Lord, this city, we pray. O God, we ask of thee, Lord, that you'll turn our capital city back to God. We pray, Lord, that tonight you'll turn the Protestant people, especially, Lord, away from, Lord, all the trappings that they have, and turn them, Lord, to the Savior. Open their eyes, we pray, Lord, for those who are still held in the bondage of Rome, for, Lord, for those who are following false religions, O God, we pray, Lord, that many will be turned to thee. Remember, especially here in Ballyhackamore, we pray, Lord, that you'll work into this area. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll turn many to thyself, we pray. So hear and answer prayer. Continue, Lord, with us tonight, we ask. And Lord, we pray that through everything that would be said and done in this place, may thy name, the name of our Savior, be lifted on high, and that he might have all the preeminence. So hear and answer prayer. Continue with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We are delighted to welcome to Sandown this evening Keith and Karen Lindsay. I think certainly the first time in my time that you've been here, but we're glad to have you both. And we welcome you warmly. Trust you feel at home amongst us. And thank you for coming tonight. We're going to ask you to come and sing for us just at this stage. The Lord bless you both. Thank you.
Well, it's lovely to be here tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to come and share with you. This first piece we're going to sing is one I'm sure that you will all know. So we're wanting you to be our backing group tonight, okay, and sing along with us. That lovely hymn, The King is Coming. And certainly as we look around us today and see the signs of the times, as we read through the scriptures, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. And that's why we need to be out there reaching the lost and seeing them come before it's forever too late. The King is coming.
Marketplace is empty, no more traffic in the streets. The builder's tools are silent, no more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor, in the courtroom no debate. Work on earth is all suspended, as the King comes through the gate. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Happy faces line the hallway, those whose lives he has redeemed. Broken homes he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand stand on low, who were crippled, broken, ruined, dressed in garments white as snow. I can hear the chariots rumble, I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpet spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding, heaven's grandstand on praise. Heaven's choir is now assembled, starts to sing Amazing Grace. Amazing is grace, a king this kind that
Assurance tonight, isn't it, that the Lord Jesus Christ, whether he comes or calls, that we're going to be with him in that wonderful place called heaven for all of eternity. It's not because of who we are. It's not because of what we have done or what we have accomplished in life or what we have in life, because all those material things will all one day fade into insignificance, won't they? It's only by coming to the cross and to the Christ of the cross. And this second piece just simply says it's because of Calvary. Again, well, there weren't too many singing along there. But if you know this one, you join in and help us to sing it tonight, because of Calvary.
Because of Calvary, my soul has been set free. He gives me liberty, and life is victory. Love made my Savior go, and this one thing I know, sins are washed white as snow, because of Calvary. He came when darkness reigns, my soul by sin enslaved. Christ took my guilty stain upon Mount Calvary. The been applied, my soul is justified, and God is satisfied because of Calvary. Set free, he gives me life. is victory. Love made my Savior go, and this one thing I know, sins are washed white as snow because of Calvary. Because of Calvary, my soul has been set free. He gives me liberty, and life is victory. Love made my Savior go. Sins are washed white as snow because of Calvary.
Thank God tonight it is all because of Calvary. We have something to sing about. We have a message to proclaim. And it is our prayer that tonight, if you've never been to that place called Calvary by faith, that even tonight you'd come and have your sins washed as white as snow. Keith and Karen, thank you so much. Be blessed by your ministry and song. Do remember God's servants as they continue to work with the Acre Gospel Mission. And we'll have to get you back again to tell us about your work and to tell us more about the Acre Mission. Of course, all familiar with the work that the Acre Gospel Mission does, and do continue to pray for God's servants as they seek to labour in that part of the work. But we are being blessed by your ministry tonight, and we'll hear from you in just a moment's time. Can I ask you please to turn with me tonight in the Word of God to the Gospel of Mark, Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. And we're going to read from verse number 27. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 27. I want to consider tonight in the Gospel, in a little time, the cost of dying crisis. We hear much about the cost of living crisis, but I want us to consider tonight the cost of dying crisis. And so we'll read together the Word of God, Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and the verse number 27, and we'll read down to the end of verse 38, to the end of the chapter. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 27, "And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answering, and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them, that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts tonight. Can I take this opportunity to welcome you all along this evening to our gospel service here. We want to thank you for your presence and your support. Glad to have visitors with us as well tonight. And we welcome you all warmly in the Savior's great name. And also to those who are watching online, we welcome you as well. Can I just go through a few of the announcements for the week that lies before us in the will of the Lord? We meet again on Tuesday evening here in the church for our Bible study and prayer meeting. And we continue on our Bible study course looking this Tuesday evening at the subject of the witness of the godly and what it means to be a witness for God and how we can be a witness for God in this godless generation. And that'll be 8 o'clock Tuesday night, and the notes will be available as well as you come in. Then next weekend, that brings us to our Jubilee celebrations, and that starts on Saturday with our church family day and barbecue in Crawfordsburn Country Park at the Scout Centre there. And this is your last opportunity. If you haven't got your name down as yet, please do that and see John tonight, please. And we're looking forward to a good day on Saturday afternoon and into the evening. And as we've said before, we want you to make this a time of outreach as well. And why not invite some of your family or friends, your neighbours along? Everything's free, no charge for anything on that occasion. And you'll be well fed and well looked after. And there'll be also time of fellowship as well afterwards. And Peter Mander and Philip Bowles, I'm not sure what these two boys are going to get up to, mind you, so we'll have to keep them in check. But they're coming along to sing, and then also our brother Brian Galt will be along to testify as well afterwards. And so we're looking for a good time on Saturday. I trust you'll be able to join with us for that church family day. And if there are others who can help just with some of the food preparation, then if you could see Rachel tonight, please, that would be appreciated. And as we said this morning, do remember to wrap up warm if the weather turns for the worst. Although looking at the forecast, although that changes from minute by minute, but it's looking fairly good. So hopefully it will at least be dry for us. And there's a shelter as well should the weather turn. But do come prepared for the rain and the wind, which hopefully won't be there. But get a coat and a rug with you should it happen to come. And also, if you could bring a chair with you as well. I think there are chairs, and I should have checked that before today, but I hopefully get up this week. But just bring a wee picnic chair with you, or one of those sun loungers or whatever that you want. I don't know what you go out into the sun in, but bring something with you, not the good furniture out of the front room. You don't need to bring that. But I think there should be some chairs, but just in case, bring a chair with you. And as we said this morning, Brian will have his book with him, his testimony book, Luke No Hands, and you can purchase a copy or copies of that book and other materials that he puts together for missionary work, and you'll be able to purchase some of that on that stand that he'll be having as well. So you can bring a few pounds for that. That brings us then to next Lord's Day, and we have our special Jubilee services, 11:30 in the morning time. We're going to be speaking on the subject of the Queen's favourite hymn. And then in the evening time at 6:30, we'll have our special Jubilee gospel service. Our sister Gillian will be testifying, and also Judith Beattie will be here to sing. And I'll be speaking on the subject of the royal throne. So I trust you'll use this as another opportunity to invite people along to church next Sunday. Sunday schools both here in Sandown, 10:15, and our Sunday school in Hollywood as well, 2:30. And do remember the seasons of prayer before both of the services. And as we said this morning, we will be giving every family a copy of a special Jubilee Bible that has been produced by the Trinitarian Bible Society to mark the Queen's 70-year reign. As we said, now it is a small Bible. You mightn't just be using it for your devotions every morning, but it'll be a copy that you'll be able to have and we will be giving one to every family, giving one to every child and young person, but also one to every family as well next Lord's Day. I think these are all the announcements. Do continue to remember those who need our prayers. As we said, our brother Sammy Lewis is back home again out of hospital. Do remember him. Do remember Shirley's mum as well. Do remember Mrs. Kennedy in your prayers, please, at this time. And as you know, by this stage, the offering boxes are available there for your tithes and for your offerings. And of course, we make all these announcements subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to ask Keith and Karen if they would come and sing for us again at this stage. And we pray the Lord will bless you. Thank you.
This final piece, whenever I looked at the verse behind me, it sort of confirmed we should sing it tonight. It's called Behold the Lamb. Whenever we think how that God promised Abraham that he would make him a great nation, didn't he? God kept his promise to Abraham. God provided a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And right through the Old Testament, we see the Lamb, don't we? And then, of course, John the Baptist, as he said, Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior. I want you to stop as we sing this, as you hear the word of God tonight. I want you to think of the one who gave his life, that you might have life. And what a privileged people we are in Northern Ireland to have the gospel in our churches like this church and to hear it over and over again. And maybe you've heard the gospel many times and tonight you still sit in your sin. What a privilege tonight that God has given you one more opportunity. And he will keep his promise to you because he promises, him that comes to me, cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he stands with open arms, willing and able to save you even this evening. Behold the Lamb.
Just as he proved to Abraham, he would provide himself a lamb.
Behold the Lamb, God himself the Lamb. Then the promise rang unto Bethlehem as God reached down to man and gave to us the only son he had. Then when his time had come, with his precious blood he sealed redemption's plan. And God provides himself
himself alone, the only sacrifice that sin demands, just as he proved to Abraham he would provide himself alone.
Keith and Karen, thank you so much for your help tonight in the meeting. Certainly been blessed by your singing. What an encouragement it is tonight, as already we've been brought to the cross through the messages and song. We pray the Lord will speak on, and we pray the Lord will bless that those messages and song that have been brought to our hearts, and bless God's servants. We thank you sincerely for being with us tonight. The Lord continue to bless you both. Returning back again to Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, please. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and we want to center our thoughts upon familiar words tonight, words that I'm sure you've often heard preached on. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and the verse 36 and verse 37. It says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" I want to think tonight, by the help of the Lord, about the cost of dying crisis. Let's just seek God's help, please, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for a sense of Thy presence already with us. We thank the Lord tonight that through the message and song, our eyes, Lord, have been taken to Calvary to behold the Lamb of God. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this evening, Lord, that through the preaching of the gospel tonight, Lord, that sinners tonight will realize the reason for which Christ came into this world, to die for sin, to save from sin, to redeem from sin. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight you would save some soul in this meeting tonight from a lost eternity, from losing their soul in hell. Oh God, answer prayer. Just be with us now. Give us help, oh God, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. None of us can have escaped the reality of the dramatic increase in the cost of living that we have experienced, especially over the past number of months. Food prices, fuel prices are rocketing in a way that we have not known or experienced before. And we are in the midst of what many are terming a cost of living crisis. Just about everything is much more expensive now than it has ever been. I mean, you're paying a tenner nearly for a fish supper. I went into a shop on Wednesday on our seniors' outing and paid over £3 for one ice cream. Didn't stop me from eating it, mind you, and it was good nonetheless. But there's no doubt that we are in a cost of living crisis. Things are more expensive, and it is getting harder for everyone. However, this evening in the gospel, I want us to think not about the cost of living, but more importantly tonight about the cost of dying. Because I suppose it is symptomatic of the secular age in which we live that everybody is taken up with the cost of living. But very few ever seem to be concerned about the cost of dying. Because there is a cost in death, you see. Not a monetary cost, but a spiritual cost. And it is this spiritual cost that the words of our text brings before us tonight. Verse 36, the Word of God here speaks about gaining all of this world. In other words, gaining all the wealth and prosperity and the property and the possessions that this world could ever offer, yet in compared to that, to lose your soul is something of such immense loss. You see, while each of us tonight will have different amounts in our bank accounts and different amounts of money, yet there is one thing we all have in common, and that is we all have a soul. We all have a soul that will live forever. We have a soul that is immortal. We have a soul that never dies. You see, when this world crumbles and when the stars fall out of their orbits, you and I have a soul that will live eternally. It's timeless, it's dateless, it's measureless. Your soul will exist forever, either in God's heaven or in God's hell. And that is why the question is asked here in verse 36, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world, gain all that this world could ever offer, and yet lose your soul? This verse brings before us, therefore, not the crisis about the cost of living, but the crisis about the cost of dying and losing your soul. Not that your soul will cease to exist, because there is life after this life. There is life after death. But that you would lose your soul in hell forevermore. Tonight, for those in this meeting, for those listening in, you see, this is a crisis you really need to be worried about. This is something that you need to be concerned about, because there is not one penny of your money that will you take with you into eternity apart from your soul. What a tragedy it would be tonight. What an unspeakable tragedy it would be if you were to go from this gospel meeting, lose your soul, perhaps comfortably off in this world, with enough to get you by every day, and yet lose your soul in that place of outer darkness. I want us to notice some things about our soul tonight. I want us to see, first of all, there is the tremendous worth of it. The tremendous worth of your soul. You see, your soul tonight is more valuable than your business, than your job, than your bank account, than your home. It's the most valuable thing that you possess tonight. Why? It's valuable because of its designer. You see, the value of anything can always be determined by the designer. The one who made it, the one who built it, the one who put it together. Who created our soul? It's God Himself. When we come to consider the tremendous wealth of our soul, it lies in the value of its designer. You and I were created by God. You and I are not an accident of humanity. God breathed into our nostrils and we became a living soul. Created in the image of God, we are the crowning work of God's creation. We are the very epitome of creation. That's what makes your soul so valuable tonight. That's what makes your soul so precious, because it was designed and created by Almighty God. Its tremendous worth is seen in its design, or seen as well in its demand. No matter how expensive something may be, if there is no demand for it, then it's worthless. But you see, tonight there is a tremendous demand for your soul. You ask yourself, how much is someone willing to pay for your soul? Well, let me answer you with the words of 1 Peter 1 and 18 and 20, that we're redeemed not with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What a price tonight the Savior paid to save your soul from sin. For a moment tonight, come, as we've already been brought to the place called Calvary, to behold the Lamb of God, to see there the agony of the Son of Man, the Son of God, dying, suffering in our place. The one who became the sinner's substitute, the one who paid the sinner's price. Consider the pain and the anguish during those hours of darkness, especially. During those hours when God blackened this earth, your sin and mine was laid on Jesus Christ. He became the scapegoat. And the bellow of the wrath of God was poured out on Christ. And during that time, as Father was separated from Son, you see the great value of your soul tonight. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ, coming out of heaven and into this world, leaving behind the majesty and the adoration of the angels, to come into this world, to live a life of humiliation, a life of rebuke, a life of rebellion, that you might be saved. See, God emptied heaven. God gave His Son to endure His wrath, to purchase your soul from sin. There are words in Scripture, and I think I've said this before, that I really cannot fathom or get my mind around. Those words of Isaiah 53, in the verse number 10, where we read that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord, the Father, to bruise His Son there on the cross. Why? Because He knew there was no other way that your soul could ever be saved from sin. All of your worth and all of your value and all of your works could do nothing to save you. Took the death of His dear Son upon the cross. Christ was bruised of the Father to save you from sin. That's the value that He placed on your soul. Your soul, you see, cost Jesus Christ His life on the cross. And yet tonight, sadly, you would sell your soul so cheaply to the world and to the devil. You would sell your soul for a pittance. Oh, Christ came to redeem your soul because he placed such a value and such a worth upon it. We see the worth of our soul in its designer. We see the worth of the soul in its demand. But also we see the worth of our soul in its durability. Some items get more expensive with age. The longer they last, the greater their value. How long will your soul last? Forever. Forever. In time, your soul will live. In death, your soul will live. In eternity, your soul will live. Either in heaven or in hell, your soul will live on. Do not think tonight. Do not believe tonight the lie of the devil when he would tell you, sinner, not to listen to that gospel preacher, not to listen to what has been preached tonight, because even if you were to go out into a lost eternity, well, your soul would be annihilated, your life would be over. The flames of hell, no. Hell is not a place of annihilation. Because as we read in Luke 16, you will be just as alive in hell as you are right now on earth. The rich man, he experienced in hell pain, sorrow, and agony. Your soul will live forever. And if you die in your sin tonight, you go out to meet God still in your sin, you will go to the caverns of the damned, and that place God has forgotten to be merciful. The place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And every moment in hell, you will remember every gospel meeting you ever sat in. Every moment in hell, the worms of conscience will remind you and trouble you and prick you about every gospel invitation you declined. I wonder tonight, are you just living for the moment? Without any thought of dying? I trust that tonight you'll begin to consider, you will start to consider, you will consider the tremendous worth of your soul. But not only is it the tremendous worth of your soul, notice the tragic waste of your soul, because verse 36 talks about losing your own soul. Losing. What a waste for any man, woman, young person, older person to lose their soul. In this verse, a contrast is brought before us, the world and our soul. Gain the world, yet lose your soul. You lose your soul in the sense of it being lost in hell. You see, even if you were able to gain this whole world, even if you were able to gain the amassed wealth of this entire world, the reality is that there's not one penny of it you will take with you in death. One of the easiest ways to calculate your wealth is to complete a simple balance sheet. All that you have on one side, and all those things, those liabilities on the other side. How do you calculate your wealth spiritually tonight? Add up all you have. And add up all then on the other side that death cannot take from you. And some of you might have many things that you can add up that you have in this world. then whenever we add up those things that death cannot take from us, what are we left with? Only one thing, and that's your soul. That's all you have. That's all we are tonight. That is why the instruction, the warning is given. What shall it profit a man? Gain the world and yet lose his soul. What a tragic waste tonight if you had failed to heed that warning. What a loss this evening. It's an irreplaceable loss. We can lose things in this world. Some of those things can be replaced. You lose your car in an accident, it can be written off, but it can be replaced. But your soul can never be replaced if it is lost in hell forevermore. It cannot be replaced. It's an irreversible loss. You see, tonight you can live your life in sin. You can reject Jesus Christ. You can die in sin, and your immortal soul be cast into hell. But there is nothing that you can do to reverse that. There's no second opportunity. There's no hope tonight for the sinner who dies in sin. No hope beyond the grave. There's no second chance. Again, we think of the rich man in Luke 16. Talks about a great gulf fixed. It's an irreversible loss. You can do nothing. Every lost sinner in hell tonight can do nothing. And I tell you, they would give everything and anything to reverse their situation in hell. Many ways in, as the old saying goes, to hell, but there's not one way out. It's an immeasurable loss. There's no loss tonight like the loss of your soul. To lose your wealth is much, to lose your health is more, but to lose your soul is such a loss that nothing can restore. The little hymn says, "Have you counted the cost?" If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be, your soul may be lost, have you counted the cost? Maybe tonight you're counting the cost of what it would cost you to be a Christian, what it would cost you to be saved. May cost you a few friends. May cost you a few habits. I tell you, whatever it'll cost you, it is nothing compared to the cost of not being a Christian. It will cost you immeasurably more not to be saved and to lose your soul in hell. It's an inexcusable loss. Because you don't have to go to hell. Do you know the wonderful thing tonight about the gospel? The wonderful thing tonight about the plan of redemption is that it is all because of the love of a triune God. God was under no obligation to save this world from sin. God was under no obligation sent his son, but he did. His son came to save you. And tonight you can know God's forgiveness. Tonight you can know God's peace. Tonight you can know God's salvation because Christ died. He shed his blood. He took your place. He paid the price. And tonight you can walk out of this meeting complete in Christ, saved. But you go out of this meeting tonight, rejecting Christ, dying your sin. And on that day of judgment, you stand before God, you will be without excuse. A tragic waste of your soul. The tremendous worth of your soul. But as we close tonight, I want us to think of the terrible warfare there is for your soul. Right now, there's a battle raging for your soul. And perhaps as in previous nights, as you've listened to your need to be saved, and you've battled against the Holy Spirit as He has striven with you, you realize there's a battle, and there's a battle raging tonight. The Lord desires to save you, yet the devil, sin, wants to hold on to you. And He's putting everything in your mind. He's putting every obstacle in your way tonight, every reason as to why you should not be saved. There's a warfare for your soul tonight. There's a battle raging. And sinner, this evening, realize that the devil is not out to give you life. He's out to destroy your life. What does he want you to do? He wants you to be damned in hell with him. He knows he's lost. He knows he's damned. And he wants to bring you with him. And tonight, if you're in this meeting without the Savior, that's all you have to look forward to. That's all you have to look forward to. No bright hope, no bright future. Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ offers you hope, forgiveness, and peace, assurance, a home in heaven. I've told this story before, and I'm sure you've heard it many a time, but it ties in very well with this message tonight, and with this we finish. Roland Hill, the great open-air preacher in London, one day preaching in the open air in the capital city. And as he preached, he noticed a lady of renown and high society coming by. Her name was Lady Anne Erskine. And she asked who the preacher was. And she was told, the preacher's name is Roland Hill. And she said to her carriage men, just stop for a moment as I listen to what this man has to say. Roland Hill noticed this lady of high society at the back of the crowd as he was preaching. He recognized her. And all of a sudden he stopped in the middle of his preaching to the assembled crowd. And he started to say something that Lady Anne Erskine never thought she was going to hear. He said, my friends, I have something for sale. And his hearers, they were all amazed. They didn't know what he was going to say because it was totally out of character of what he was preaching about. But he said, I have something for sale tonight. And it's the soul of Lady Anne Erskine. And then he says, is there anyone who will bid for her soul? And he says, yes, I hear a bid. And Satan today bids for her soul. And Satan says, I'll offer you riches and honor and pleasure, but at the end of it all, I'll offer you damnation and hell. And then Roland Hill, in his very animated way, said, but stop. I hear another bid. It is the bid of the Savior tonight. And the Savior says, I'll give you shame and reproach and the cross of this life, but I'll give you eternal life and an assurance of a home in heaven when this life is over. And speaking very directly and pointedly to Lady Anne Erskine, that lady of high society in London, Roland Hill said, "Lady Anne Erskine, you have heard the two bids for your soul. Now, which one will you have?" Lady Anne Erskine got out of her carriage that day under conviction of sin, got down on her knees on the ground and said, "I'll have Jesus. I'll have Jesus." And tonight, Satan bids for your soul. Tonight, Satan wants you to think that you get out of this meeting, it'll all be over. But he's got nothing to offer you. But tonight, the Savior bids for your soul. And he offers you peace, assurance. He offers you forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven. Therefore, sinner, tonight, which bid will you have? Oh, that tonight you would, like Lady Anne Erskine all those years ago, get before God tonight and say, "I love Jesus. I love Jesus." Don't sell your soul cheaply to the world tonight, but give your life to Jesus Christ, who valued your soul so much that he died on an old rugged cross to save you from your sin. What shall it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Whatever you do tonight, in God's name, don't lose your soul in hell, but come to Christ. Receive him tonight. Accept his offer for your soul.